You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassel Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassel Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas. They ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They call their beef the blue-collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu that every man or woman can afford. Hassel Cattle Company offers Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors, original and sweet and spicy, and their hamburger even won the Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Not only do we love their beef, the country loves their beef. Everybody wants to get in on this. These guys take their registered bulls and breed them with Angus cows, giving you that very high prime product that is grown with zero antibiotics or hormones. So head to HasselCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, and use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, plus any orders over $200 get you free shipping. Again, use code DNVR10. Check them out today, and we promise you will not be disappointed. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Ruto, AJ coming at you as always. And we have the man, the myth, the legend, Evan Rowell back on the show. Couch and all. Before we jump into today's show, we do have a DraftKings pick of the week for you. Obviously, you can still time. You have a couple hours to get in on the no-brainer bet. As long as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cover 73 points, you will win that bet. So do that right away. But we're sticking with the same game. We're going to the other side. We're going to the Dallas Cowboys for our DraftKings pick of the week. Ezekiel, it's under, over in rushing yards. Actually, it just went up 1 yard right now as I was speaking. It was 52.5. It's now 53.5. We're taking the over. Get on it before it goes up anymore. So jump on it. Get your bets in. Go make some money on Zeke. Should be interesting. It's officially football season, so now you can put your money where your mouth is instead of being all talk all day about football. Go earn some money with DraftKings Sportsbook on that one. Head on over there, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Are you a Cowboys fan, AJ, or you're more of a Texans fan, right?
He's got, look at the hat.
I know you're a Broncos fan, but you have your Texas roots.
Yeah, no, it would be the Texans.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. I don't have to fight you now.
Yeah, no. Not a fan of any of the Dallas teams. Mostly because I've both been to Dallas and met people from Dallas, and that's a hard pass.
Watch it. I was born in Plano, all right? Be careful now.
Yeah, and this is the thing about Dallas, is that anybody born within 100 miles of it likes to say they're from
Not
Dallas.
Not from Dallas.
You guys are all a joke.
All right. Well, head on over, get the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Be sure to use code DNBR when you're signing up for a new account. You get amazing boosts, including it's still time to get a free $200 in bets if you bet on any week one football game. So jump on that now. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. DraftKings is an official betting partner of the NFL. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're going to get into Anisimov. We're going to get into some of what Evan has seen at, I guess you can call them captain's practices, down at Family Sports Center today. Thank you for the super chat, Jacob. That's generous. The Cowboys are far worse than the Maple Leafs, in my opinion.
Cowboys have at least won somewhat
also,
recently.
That's also true. They won in, did they win in the 90s? I think they won.
They won a couple 90s. In the 90s. Yeah.
So yep. They've got 30 years to go to be the Maple Leafs, but in any case, yeah, we do want to get into all that. First, I do want to shout out PHNX.
You guys might have noticed. Surprise, we expanded.
Yeah, we officially the new branch of, I guess we're All City now, is our official
umbrella. We found another city that we wanted to steal their vowels and rebrand everybody from there.
Yep.
So PHNX it is. I don't know why we called ourselves All City instead of No Vowels.
Yeah, we could have been, I don't know. If you went with No Vowels, would you have to take the vowels out of your name then? So we'd be NVS. NVS.
I'm good with that.
Anyway, yeah, check them out if you're interested in any Arizona sports at all. It's the same vibe that we bring to y'all here in DNVR. So
the idea is to do what we did in Denver again, but in Phoenix. Arizona. And honestly, the team in place down in Phoenix to cover the Coyotes with Craig Morgan and Steve Peters and Leah.
It's a dope team.
I swear to God, I know her from somewhere. Have you ever had that, yeah, that thing where like, yeah, you like see
recognize
somebody
the and you're face just like, and you're like, where have I seen you before? Yeah,
I know this person. And their first episode of just the Coyote Pod just aired right before ours started, and I was watching it, and I was just like, I don't know where it's from, but I know her from somewhere. And obviously, you know, PD has been the video coach for the Coyotes for a long time until now. And so that's a big get. And then Craig Morgan is like the Coyotes reporter.
He's the dude who covers everything for the Coyotes there. So, yeah.
So that team is going to be great. And their coverage is going to be awesome. And I'm really excited. Selfishly, I'm really excited to hang out with them next week.
Dude, I'm so sad that I can't go. Like, I wanted to dive into footage with PD, and now I'm going to be off by myself.
Now I have to do it. Dang it. Yeah, so I'm excited because I'm driving down to Arizona for the rookie face-off next week, and hopefully we'll do, you know, the two teams don't play, so that doesn't help.
Yeah,
it would be great if Arizona and Colorado actually
in the head-to-head. Yeah,
but that's not happening because we just have to get more California apparently. So, yeah, I'm really excited to work with those guys, and we'll absolutely reach out to all three of them and have them pop onto the pod at some point and. We'll do some crossover episodes, you know, some collabs, different things. It's going to be fun. Maybe we'll drop a mixtape at some point.
Yeah, it's I can't go because it's the bachelor party for a wedding that I'm the best man at. So
kind of an important deal.
Yeah. It's a valid reason.
Yeah, it's I was a little busy that weekend, but
I was watching their show, too. It was a great show. Yeah. Entertaining pod.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, and you know, before we get going, it is really just a fascinating time portal to listen to them talk about like rebuilding and
exactly
well, there are five years ago.
I'm here. Yeah.
there's some guys you maybe want to build around. There's some guys you like the Kellers and the Schmaltz and the Chickrens. And you know, how do you instill a winning culture when losing has been rampant for so long? It is wild to go and listen to those and then to think about all the podcasts we did through some of the darker years. And even as far back as when I was at Mile High Hockey, when we were doing the MHH pod and living through the rebuilds. And then, you know, their hope is draft picks. And their hope is to be where Colorado is at some point.
Yep.
And it was very interesting to like see those two, see their opinions on the team and their focus on the coverage and how it's like, yeah, there's an 82 game NHL season, but the draft picks and all the following of non-NHL hockey that they're going to have to do this year is going to be. It's going to be very interesting.
At least 40 of those games you might actively be rooting for the Coyotes to lose.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely just such a strange. It's interesting how the cycles of sports work.
Yep.
And then to have launched PHNX when the Coyotes are in such a familiar position for us. And then, you know, now it's like. It's funny because the Avs are coming off of an offseason where I think universally we would all agree they've gotten worse as an NHL team. Certainly on day one of the season, they're worse than they were last year.
Yeah.
But they're still like hard, like top five in the league cup contenders by most people around the league.
Yep.
So it's interesting to hear like their optimism about all the losing that's about to happen, but because of all the picks that they've stocked up this offseason, it's totally changed the trajectory of that franchise. And you could just hear on their show, it's breathed new life into everybody, the fan base. I was hanging out in the comments with a few of our regulars, just talking Coyotes hockey, and there's actual excitement around a franchise that's trying to win 10 games this year.
Yeah, they finally have gone. They've done the right thing and just gone all in and said, we just need to rebuild this whole thing.
It's
better than being stuck in the mushy middle, which there's
too. You don't want to be Calgary.
Exactly.
It's literally the Calgary zone and has not changed for a decade.
Yep. So, I agree, Brechton. From a straight up, if you're looking at who did the most to move themselves in the correct direction, I think it's probably Arizona.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that direction is losing a lot, but they went all in on it. So
they have eight picks in the first two rounds.
Yep. So maybe dust off some of the old emojis. Get out Tank Commander, but replace it with Carter Hutton or something. But
we should definitely have Andy like dig up the old Brian Elliott tank and we should just repurpose it and give it to them.
Yeah. There you go.
So like, all right, here you guys go. You guys can use what we used back in the day 10 years ago when the Avs were accidentally chasing Gabe Landeskog.
Should be fun. If for no other reason, join the PNHX Discord and their lounge to lament what's going to be probably a rough season for that hockey team. But
yeah, that's going to be a very different Discord experience than what the Avs the Avs channel is.
Yeah, that's going to be group therapy compared to the Avs one. I think
the Avs channel is a lot of slap fighting over. Should Nathan MacKinnon be projected to score 40 goals or not?
Yeah.
Eddie.
Called him out.
Yeah.
Called him out.
It's just an incredibly amusing thing that he's very passionate about and I think is hilarious.
Look, I'll take MacKinnon not scoring 40 goals if that Burakovsky prediction is correct. I'll tell you that.
The 62-point projection?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh. To answer your question, I don't have an answer on that yet. I just don't know. I don't know if the memberships are crossed. I mean, they should be, but I just don't know about the specifics on that one quite yet. I will hopefully have an answer by the end of the day. It's been a big day though, so.
Yeah, it's been extremely hectic over the past week behind the scenes at this company, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
There's been a lot of stuff going on.
I think the hope is for there to be a PHNX bar. And Burakovsky getting 60, he was on 60 point paces in both of his F seasons. The only thing Burakovsky hasn't done is play in an 82 game season with the F.
Stay healthy. Yeah.
So
yeah, Burakovsky getting 60 points is awesome. And then also it's like, well, you can't pay that guy too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to super dig into it right now, but
yeah,
I think you could pay him.
You deal with that bridge when you get there, I think.
Yeah, you take the 60 points this year.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, yeah, looking forward to it. If you have, again, any interest in Arizona sports, it's not just hockey there, too. It's the football, basketball, baseball, and their colleges as well. So,
two colleges that people care about down there.
Wildcats and Sun Devils. So,
And great time for Sun Devil coverage too, for the hockey program especially, yeah, because that program
up, man.
That is a sleeping giant of a program. There absolutely is.
The Phoenix show was just talking about Doan's kid going there, so
yeah, they're much higher on the son of Doan than I am.
son of Doan.
Yeah. it's very interesting, different perceptions of teenage hockey player.
The Artem signing feels kind of like the Val signing, and one of these days Evan is actually going to sit on his couch. I don't think the Artem signing is anything like the Val signing.
We're going to get into Anisimov here in a minute. And
I'm not sitting on this couch.
such a couch hater.
It's just a prop.
Dude, we're still waiting for the couch sticker to drop, all right? We need one.
I'm telling you, that whole sticker pack just needs to be nonsense about us.
Super in jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they changed it. It's not Dune. It's not the movie coming out. It's Doan.
Yeah.
That's the new movie coming to theaters near you soon.
That's the PHNX only version.
There you go. Special Phoenix edition.
Yeah.
all right. Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely be doing some crossover stuff with PHNX all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah. So,
looking forward to it, especially now that they're in our division. So.
Yeah, division rivals. That'll be. You
can call them that.
Yeah, every point that Arizona gets against you this year should take away from your own standings points. You should lose points if you lose to that team.
There you go.
And if it's a shutout, you lose 3 points.
Ooh,
you can't score. If you can't score against them, you lose all.
That's rough. That's a rough sell right there. I guess with Carter Hutton in net, yeah, probably. Anyway, we are brought to you all by Drop a Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee that has really changed lives. Check that out at the DNVR bar. You can get it cold brew, or you can go online. Your first purchase, you get 25% off when you use code DNVR25. So jump on that. And when you love it, you can get their subscription service as well. That will get you 20% off every single time you buy. And then you can check out Green Mountain Dental Group as well. Maybe the coffee's browned your teeth a little bit. Green Mountain Dental Group can help with that. They'll take care of your teeth, get you looking fresh. We've had tons of people switch, and they all say it is absolutely amazing. Plus, when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you get a free Sonicare toothbrush to boot to keep your teeth clean at home. So jump on it. Check out Green Mountain Dental Group, just 15 minutes from Denver over in Lakewood. And then... Look, if you haven't signed up for a membership with DNVR yet, now's a great time to do it. Now you got to pick a side, DNVR or PHNX. So pick DNVR, specifically the apps.
some decent rivalry undertones there too. Like the Cardinals and Broncos will never have anything, so that's out.
But you have D-backs and Rockies, yeah.
Well, D-backs and Rockies has always been a little contentious. Suns Nuggets is very suddenly it's been meaningful.
Kicked up a little bit lately, yeah.
Yeah, the Suns and Four guy may not be allowed back in Ball Arena next year.
Yep.
And then obviously Coyotes and Avs are now in division together, so enjoying the possible rivalries that we could see come from this.
And in hockey, it's the two corners rivalry, I guess. Basketball has three of the four corners. We need New Mexico to step it up, AJ. We need sports teams there.
Well, we've got the Isotopes, kind of.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess ASUCU. College sports in Colorado are just the people who went to those schools care a lot about them.
Yeah,
but that's about it. So I apologize for forgetting, but.
I went to one of those schools and I do not care about it at all.
So did Rudo.
Yep. Good for. I didn't care at all even when I went to CSU.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So just college sports, not for me, I suppose. Unless it's watching hockey prospects. But Green Chili Pride, there you go. Too bad New Mexico wins that every single time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. A sideswipe there, bro. No. Put that away.
Anyway, now's the time. Get a DNVR membership. You can get our new line of shirts, the Vibes Collection. We do have a one in burgundy and blue, the Avalanche Diehard. Highly recommend you check it out. It's very, very cool. And we finally have shirts that have women's sizes. So that's good. You can get shirts that fit instead of the unisex. I know sometimes they don't fit super well. So go check them out. Get yourself some awesome DNVR merch and support us a little bit. All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Thank you for the super chat, Chris. Thanks for being an awesome distraction at a chaotic time in my life, friends. I appreciate you all so much. Happy to be here, man. We always try to be here, you know, other than national holidays, 5 days a week. We got something for you.
I tried to scan through the last 6 months worth of Reddit, the Av subreddit last night because I couldn't sleep and I don't check Reddit. And I saw one of the posts was about Av's podcasts. And I'm always curious how the community feels about. Not just us, but all the other Avs shows, because I don't get to listen to them regularly because I just don't really have the time to do it.
It's one of those things when you're making a podcast about the Avs, a lot of the time you would have to listen to a podcast about the Avs.
Yeah, and there's been like a bunch that have popped up in the last year and a half. So I was really curious about the feedback. And shout out to the one guy who said that all of the best DNVR episodes are the ones without me on them. I appreciate you. Good, great critical feedback for me to try and improve my game a little bit. But
it's like
just
two episodes.
That doesn't happen often.
It's like two episodes the last, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah, there's not tons of them. Sorry to that guy.
He's like, I remember those episodes.
The rest of the crowd seems to like you on the show. So,
well, and it was great. There were a lot of DNVR fans, and the thing that we got the most was like rain or shine.
Yeah, out here,
these dudes do five episodes per week, and that was. I thought that was great. And so you saying we are present, we show up is definitely accurate.
One of our biggest selling points, I guess.
We're here. whatever you feel about us beyond that.
Can confirm. AJ Rance carried the show.
Yeah.
Fun fact, you know, he doesn't even remember them most of the time, Chad.
Yeah. It's a true. We'll get done recording a show, and I'll be like, "What happened?"
That's what happens as we get older. Like, what the hell was I yelling about 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, it's true.
Old hockey man yells at hockey clouds. All right. So let's get into some actual Az-related news. Obviously, the PTO signing of Artem Anisimov happened the other day.
Can you just run that back one more time?
The PTO?
There you go. The PTO. Because our comment section to start today's pod was everybody just assuming that Artem Anisimov is getting signed. Yeah,
I don't think that's I wouldn't be confident in that assumption by any means. And I'm sure we'll get into the conversation of potential fit and how many guys the Avalanche have on their forward side.
Yeah.
But we'll start with Anisimov himself. Look, he's not the player he used to be. I think that's just a reality.
As is tradition with most PTOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen this criticism, or the not criticism, but this comment about the Avs and PTOs and how some of the guys don't ever play in the NHL after that. And it's like, they're PTOs.
Right. Like, they're barely clinging to the NHL as is.
Yeah. The Mike Hoffman PTO last year was cap circumvention. That was gymnastics. Otherwise, the vast majority of PTOs are not players in demand.
Yep.
They are guys who are
looking for one last shot to stick in the NHL. Yeah, yeah.
They are either older guys who have had lower end careers for the most part and are just trying to hang on, like both of the PTOs in Jack Johnson and Artem Anisimov, or they're just fringe guys to begin with, like a Gabriel Bork back in the day or a Jack Skilly back in the day. And it's like, that's who these are. These are not like surefire, true blue quality NHL players. Otherwise, they'd be signing for guaranteed money. They would be taking contracts. Instead, they're taking PTOs and saying, hey, we'll see how this goes. We'll just see.
Yep.
And the one thing that both these PTOs have in common is older guys, two older guys on steep declines coming off injuries.
Yep.
And I think the biggest thing is it's obvious the Avs like to put both of these guys enough to to give them training camp minutes and looks and ice and maybe preseason games, probably preseason games. So they obviously have enough of a good feeling between the scouting and the analytics stuff that they want these guys to potentially be part of it, but they need to see something first before they make the commitment. But and the Johnson one made sense because defensively they're just so shallow.
Yeah, they needed a body. Now, I think a lot of people would have preferred it not be Jack Johnson.
Sure.
That's a different conversation.
I mean, isn't like Jason Demare still out there, like hanging around?
I mean, I think you could have done better than Jack Johnson. We'll put it that way.
And like, there were things we dug into Jack Johnson there. And you asked me, is there anything that you feel good about? And it was like,
eh. He won't hurt you too much, probably.
Yeah, but it was funny because like the anger about the Jack Johnson PTO didn't match what Jack Johnson the player was last year.
Yeah.
And then the Anisimov one has mostly been positively received.
Yep.
But I think as we're
about to dive
the player's washed. Yep. Anisimov's not any good anymore. And really just hasn't been what you would consider a valuable NHL player for a few years now.
Well, I mean, we can bring up his war card here, but I think some people get a little bit fooled by his production numbers.
Yeah.
Because you saw last year he had 9 points in 19 games, and it just... despite the production, he's just not been a very effective NHL player.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of like, well, he scored 15 goals in 49 games 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, some bad Ottawa teams. You look at those lines right there. What's the one thing 2 years ago that was really, really high? It was his finishing.
Yep.
So bad. Okay, knowing that goal scoring can be a little bit random here and there. Is that really repeatable?
Yeah.
You look at his career and you say, okay, well, his shooting percentages throughout his career have been insane. Yeah. They have been all over the board.
Yep.
You have no idea. Incredibly inconsistent. 2 years ago, he had 20 points in 49 games on 15 goals and 5 assists. And he shot 17%. Now, 17% is really, really high, but across his entire NHL career, almost 800 games, he's shot 13%.
Yep.
So it's not like...
Must be new. I am.
Yeah. He's very much sitting on the floor in front of his couch. It's not like Anisimov is a bad shooter who had one fluky season. He's had several seasons with very high shooting percentages, including one over 20.
It's wildly inconsistent though too, because he's had multiple seasons under 10 as well.
Yep.
So I don't. What's the view from the floor look like, Evan? Are you higher on this than we are?
No. I mean, the thing is, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why these guys are PTOs at this point in their career. Like, somebody mentioned he might not even pass his physical. That's always a possibility. We saw Yuri Tlusti,
yeah,
was that 2 or 3 years ago. So,
The same is true of Jack Johnson, by the way.
Yeah. So, the one thing, and this is maybe a cynical view of everything, is that with these PTOs, we're now back to a full preseason schedule, and you have to dress a certain amount of veterans in these games. And
PTOs do check
getting
that box.
A free veteran, yeah, that's played in a certain amount of NHL games. You say, okay, we'll give you a look, and you also don't have to play your NHL guys in these meaningless preseason games. So, yeah, it's bad players or bad teams have to score too, and that's why guys like Anisimov score playing on really bad teams. He's not the player he once was, and that's just the reality of the situation. But there's no harm in just giving him a PTO, and that's the fun of training camp, is we'll see if he's got anything left, and maybe being in a better environment brings out something in the guy. You just never know. But I don't have super high hopes.
The follow-up question about Anisimov is, okay, let's just assume he gets signed. All right, and we're talking about, oh, he's going to maybe being in the better environment, he Purdue. Okay, well, where does he play?
Yeah, that's my big concern too.
What's the role that you're going to give him? Because he's been a guy who's taken a lot of faceoffs in his career.
Yep. And he's not super good at it.
Just a shade on. He's taken 7,500 faceoffs in his career, and he's a 46% faceoff guy. So don't play him at center.
Yeah, I don't want him at center. My bigger problem than his faceoffs at center is the dude doesn't drive play at all anymore in his career.
Right, but I'm saying, I mean, I'm only starting with this because it's like, you can knock that. Okay, bam. You're trying to replace
faceoffs, yeah.
Right. You're trying to replace like Belmar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Your fourth line, you want it to be Logan O'Connor on the right and Darren Helm on the left. Kind of like walking in, like roughly that's what you're thinking is ideal, but that's likely, right? But who's going to be the guy in the middle? Who's going to be the guy that takes that face off and replaces what Belmar did in the dot, which is the one thing he did well last year, pretty consistently.
Yeah.
This isn't the guy for that.
Yep.
This is not the answer. And so erase that. He's not going to be your 4C. And if he is, he's a 4C that gets his ass kicked in the face off circle. That's not great. You can live with it when it's Nathan MacKinnon and you're absolutely hoping that it gets better with Tyson Jost.
Yeah, well,
just him being a younger guy who hasn't done it very much.
Effective players in other areas. To Kenneth's question here, they essentially did do this with Andreas Wingerli. It's not a PTO, but
it's really, really hard to get a guy to come over from a European league, and because the European
guaranteed contract,
European leagues are already starting.
Yeah,
so it's really hard to get a guy to come across from Europe and say, "We'll give you a PTO and then release you four games into the preseason," and then the entire hockey world has started, and that guy doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
So why not a PTO from a EuroLeague? That's why, because it's bad business for those cats. So you have to give a contract to those guys, and that's what Wingerli is.
Yep.
Now, Wingerli, we're not expecting to really be in competition for a center job, but that's kind of the use of the contract that they gave him.
Yep.
So they did that.
Yep.
In effect, they did that.
Back to Anisimov.
Yeah.
This is the where does he play question. We've essentially eliminated him as a center at this point.
So he's got to play wing.
So he's playing wing. He plays left wing. And personally, I am terrified that the Avs see this guy as a potential option on the second line left wing.
Okay, so left wing, there's two guys that I think you have locked in on the left side to start the season. Landeskog and Nichushkin.
Yeah, those are easy. But there's still a bit of a hole at two left wing there.
Well, and then you have to consider Alex Newhook is
somewhere in the picture. Yeah.
In this conversation, as is a guy like Darren Helm.
Yeah.
So Darren Helm's going to be on the NHL roster.
Yeah, obviously.
That guy's not going to the Eagles.
And
so he's in this mix somewhere, and he's very likely not just going to be a healthy scratch.
And we've talked about this before. We expect somewhat of a rotation in that second line left wing spot. But I'm scared that the Avs think they could YOLO someone like Anisimov into that spot. And from what I've looked at, I don't think it would work at all.
I have a hard time believing that they're going to look at his two goals performance last year and think, let's put this guy next to Kadri and Burakovsky and we're going to get something out of him.
I think it's easy for people to overlook that because he only played 19 games. It was coming off of injury. And you look a year before that and there's the 15 goals, right?
Sure, but they've got years of scouting reports on this cat.
Yeah.
Like, years. They know already what, more or less, what this guy is and is not. And back in his prime, he was good for 20 goals a season, and he was a very good shooter.
Not no mo though.
But how much of the, and I think this is where the PTO part of this comes into this, how much of injuries taken away from him? How healthy is he? What caliber of athlete is he at this point in his career? Because if he can't get around the ice, it's not going to really matter what kind of shooter he is.
Yep.
You know, we saw. Obviously, he was a few years older, but late career Jerome McGinley, the legs went, wasn't an effective NHL player.
He got by as a turret for a year, and then the bottom kind of fell out.
Yeah, and with Anisimov, you know, he hasn't played a ton of hockey in the last couple of years. You know, the year before the 15 goal season that we're talking about, he only played 49 games.
Yep.
You know, now that was over half of the Sens games that year. But he still missed a lot of those games.
Time, yeah.
You're talking about, he just has not played, you know, 68 games played across two seasons. So health is a concern here. He's not a super effective player. He's not a face-off guy. Yahir, if we could pull up the 5v5 in his career, because we're gonna see the heat maps and his underlings. He's been a defensive sieve for the last six seasons.
Yeah, something happened in 2014, and the defense in his game just absolutely dropped out.
That was when he got to Chicago.
Chicago, right. But
and so he gets to Chicago and Ottawa, and defensively, he's awful. And offensively, he's not driving play. Right.
And then,
you know, the frustration that you have with a guy like JT Compher is that he doesn't drive play, but his defense doesn't look anything like that. It's the exact opposite of that.
Yep. That one of the biggest concerns for me is you look at those, that 15, 16, 16, 17 offensive season when he was at his best producing offense. And you look at those expected goal forward numbers and you're like, boy, it sure feels like he was riding the success of his line mates offensively.
So those 2 years are also the 2 years in which he averaged the most ice time.
Yep.
They're the only years in his entire career where he's averaged more than 17 minutes, and it was 1805 and 1751, those 2 years.
Yep. I want to keep reading into this. I want to get Evan's opinion too, but we do need to make sure that everyone in the chat is taking care of their family jewels. So head on over to Manscaped, get your 20% off with code DNVR on the Perfect Package 4.0. You can get the lawnmower. You can get all of their other products as well. It's not just for men. Ladies, they got stuff for you too, whether it be breath mints, other, you can get the leg shavers, I guess regular razors. That's what you call those. Good job, Rudo. A whole bunch of other products as well to make sure you're keeping it all put together and looking good. So jump on it today. Check out Manscaped. Get the good 20% off and free shipping with the DNVR code. And then hit up Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been in business for a long time. And look, trust me, it's sometimes rough sledding trying to find a house to buy here in Colorado. So they can help you out with that. Mike is a certified financial planner. So not only will they find you a great rate on a home loan, but they'll find one that fits with your entire financial picture. So come up today. You can go to dnvrmortgage.com and get yourself a free consultation as well as a chance to win some free DNVR merch as well. Or you can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006, Virginia Chevalier 1910631. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Evan, Can you assuage my fears a little bit here? Do you think the Avs see Anisimov as a bottom six guy a little bit more than I do?
I have a hard time thinking that an organization that's made such smart decisions over the last handful of years is targeting a PTO guy to be their second line left wing. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I think this is more just, you know, we might be looking at playing a lot of young guys. Let's bring in a veteran and see if maybe there's a fit, and maybe if we can just, you know, we're expected to, you know, be in the running to win the Stanley Cup again. Do we want to run with these young guys? Are they better options, or is this veteran somebody that can help us? That's really all I see from this. I'm not reading too much into it. I just, especially, I'm not expecting this guy to suddenly be on the second line left wing to start the year. I think this is more just, let's take a look at him and see if he can provide anything in the bottom six.
All right, so then to jump back to the conversation that we were just having, he's a weird fit for the Avalanche's bottom six, right? You look at the Nichushkin and Jost combo. Anisimov doesn't make a ton of sense with them, one, because Nuke's a left wing, and so I believe Anisimov plays on the left as well. But he doesn't drive play, so he's not going to help them offensively, and he's a disaster defensively, so he just doesn't make a ton of sense on that line. He can't take faceoffs to be your 4C. And you're also going to get into a conversation of, if you're talking about him as a potential fourth liner, well, you have Helm, you have Maltsev, you have potentially Wingerly, you have Martin Kaut, you have, what's his name? The AHL guy with like 50 NHL games as well.
Which one?
Yeah, right. My point exactly.
Because there's Mateau, there's Sakura, there's
Mateau is the one I was thinking.
Magno
as well. So my point is,
pick a bet.
He very quickly becomes a Jag in a sea of Jags if you're talking about him on a fourth line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My really the only thing that comes to mind is, you know, Bednar never seemed to, like, they played Jost at center. Bednar never seemed like fully committed that Jost was a long-term center. And when I asked him a couple times last year, he is always like, oh, you know, he's adjusting great. He's learning on the fly. And that would really be my only concern, is that they're like, hey, maybe this guy could be the 3C.
He's asking a lot of questions. He's doing his homework. He's really trying to improve at the position.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are like, bro, he's the guy.
Yep.
So I don't think they have anything pegged for the top six, but that would really be my only thing, is they're like, you know, is this guy a better option at center than Jost? I don't think so, but, you know, we'll see.
I mean, depending on who you ask, Scott, McKinnon's production is far exceeding his analytic numbers. But at the end of the day, if you produce, you produce. That's not nothing. Like, to give Anisimov credit, the goal of hockey is to score.
Yeah. And he's been a good shooter in his career.
Yeah.
And that's where if you were buying in on the upside, it's that Artem Anisimov is a career 13% shooter.
Yep.
And if you take out the first 2 years of his career, it's 14%. So the dude has been, for a long time now, he's been able to shoot the puck past a goaltender, which is really, really hard to do. You could get all the play drivers in the world. If you have 12 Val Nichushkins, you're still going to struggle to score because he's got stone hands.
Yep.
So, you know, you need guys like Anisimov scattered and out throughout your lineup that can just score goals. Now, in Colorado, you have an entire top line that could do it. You have both Kadri and Burakovsky that can do it. And then you start to get into question marks beyond that. Historically, Compher's been able to do it. Last year being, obviously, a no doubt about it, career worst season for him.
Yeah.
Even though I think his shooting percentage actually ended up like 20%.
But he only took like 30 shots or something.
Yeah, he had 47 shots on goal last year in 48 games. So there were a lot of issues with JT last year, but that's a guy that's always been able to give you some goals here. Nichushkin in his 2 years in Colorado has been able to give you a couple of goals. It's always been a frustration with Jost. You know, with Jost, it's always been hard to get that out of him. And then any fourth line player ever.
There's a reason they're on the fourth line.
Yeah. And you're hoping. Maltsev is a guy that we haven't really gotten too much into because we're all kind of just waiting to put eyes on the dude.
Yep.
But they specifically targeted him in a deal. Like, they had multiple second round pick offers for Ryan Graves. They picked the Devils in part because of what they saw in Maltsev, who on paper had an a promising season last year in terms of scoring goals. Now,
you actually watch the goals go in and you're like,
Yeah, you and I went back and looked through them and we're like, this is a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So there's still everything for that guy to prove. But that's where you know Anisimov's going to have a leg up on a Darren Helm, on a Tyson Jost, probably even on a Val Nichushkin. Hell, you could even say on a JT Compher. He's a better shooter than all those guys. He can score goals. And if the other guys are driving play, I mean, if not worrying about position, but if just in purely in theory, if you have two guys in Jost and Nichushkin that can
push help the puck the right direction,
help him defensively, help keep him from getting his ass kicked on defense, and they end up in the offensive zone a lot, that's a guy that can at least finish.
Yep.
And that's the appeal. The downside is he's also big.
Yes, he's 6'4".
He's a 6'4", 210-pound dude that can if he can move, he's got appeal in that regard. Not that he uses his size in a way that we would consider effective.
No.
What with him having 15 hits across the last two seasons. But he's a bigger guy, and I guess if you know the size police might like that part, but he's not. He's if you're trying to find positives, he brings a little extra size. He brings goal scoring. He could help them in a bottom six role if he's healthy, if he can move, and if he can be kind of protected a little bit.
Yeah, the guy who fit the best with Jost and Donskoy, or Jost and Nichushkin last year, was Donskoy, and that's a high percentage scorer that they did lose this summer. So maybe that's just, they're like, hey, maybe this guy can just be that finisher on that line, because they're going to do what they do. Jost and Nichushkin were kind of money together for the most part.
Yeah.
But they're just not finished.
We've assumed they were just going to keep them together because they were so good together, but it is an open-ended question.
I mean, it does make sense with Anisimov in that regard, too. Anisimov, it's hard to sell him on the fourth line because you look at it as underlyings, and while he's producing, he gets caved absolutely every night on the possession metrics. In Ottawa, it was really, really bad. His expected goals for versus against was like almost a whole goal against more than his four. So he needs the help from his teammates to control the defensive end at worst and help drive play offensively at best.
I did want to touch on Colin's question about, do you think teams do the PTOs as favor to agents? No.
Not unless they see a legitimate chance for that guy to make the lineup.
They have too many things that they have to worry about. Most of these teams are trying to win Stanley Cups. They've got their own goals. They've got their own roster issues that they need to sort through. They're not going to just do a super solid for an agent like that. It's an agent is not going to suddenly give up $500K on a star player's next contract because they might have given that guy a PTO that led to a deal. That's just not the way that business works. Yep. So. No, we can bin that one right off the top. It's a fun conspiracy though. Like you could start to build, you know, you get the Always Sunny conspiracy board picture. If you start building from there with stuff like that.
They start putting up Columbus logos all over the board.
exactly. I mean, this is another Columbus guy.
We do have a busy day, obviously, going on behind the scenes with PHNX launching, so we're trying to get out of here pretty quick. But first, Evan, you've been going to the captain's practices for Colorado down at Family Sports Center. You got some interesting little details for us so far?
I mean, there's always so much you can really take from these. A lot of the big guys aren't here. I think Maltsev literally showed up today because halfway through the session, he just wandered onto the ice. So a lot of these guys are still coming in. Really, the big ones would be Eric Johnson's out there. Looks pretty good. Because he's played so little hockey in like the last 2 years, I don't remember if he wore a tinted visor or not, but he's been wearing one, it looks like.
He didn't, yeah.
And then the other big one, which is huge, is Pavel Francouz is out there and looks good. And
that picture you had of Kemper and Francouz behind the net together, I cackled at that. Because I was just like, Darcy Kemper is so big.
Yeah, he's
even
a big
in
boy.
Even in that gigantic goaltender gear, you can just see the size difference
towers
between those
over
two.
Him, man.
Yeah, and it was like, is Darcy about to take Frankie's lunch money? Like, is he about to bully this dude? He's so much bigger.
I couldn't tell that. Once again, we've talked about it before. The Avs need to put numbers on these freaking jerseys.
On the practice jerseys.
It's hard enough to like. There was so when I was there yesterday, I was like, "Who the hell is 43?" And I was like, "Is that a rookie? He looks like he's 40 years old." And then I get home, I was like, "Oh yeah, it's Darren Helm. He's here." I forgot that they signed that guy. So it's just tough to tell, especially with the goalies. Like I stared at Kemper for like 30 minutes because there was five goalies on the ice in the practice yesterday, and I was like, "I'm pretty sure that's him." But, I mean, there's just not a ton right now. I'm surprised Byram's not here yet with rookie camp starting on or development camp Sunday, but it's a lot of young guys out there. Donskoy still chilling here. He must not have been sent any Seattle gear because he's rocking all his Avs gear.
Ian Cole's there, right, with his
People are all about that. Like,
I love that tweet, and I love that people from Minnesota were like, that happens all the time up here. Like, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, more guys, I'm sure by the time dev camp starts, usually on the other side of the ice is when the NHL guys are screwing around and you get the guys that are like, well, I kind of want to go watch what the NHL guys are doing. So more guys will start trickling in, but those are the big ones. Joe Girard looks good. I think people hopefully are going to remember, oh yeah, Girard's good after an entire off season of just trashing the guy.
Of hyperbole and nonsense.
Yeah. But Eric Johnson looks good. That would be the one thing. And, you know, obviously they need him to be healthy. And McDermott's out there, but there's not much to say about the guy. And then he's a big old boy.
Another dude in the sea of bodies in the bottom six for the Avs, possibly. But
exactly.
I don't even know how they're going to try and sort all this out.
Yeah,
it's there are so many guys now that I don't know how
do you even get looks at all of them? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you give them opportunities to prove something? You know, how does a guy climb a depth chart at this point when there are 12 guys in the mix? How does the 12th guy become the sixth guy and then become the third guy? Like, how does, is it realistic? I guess this is a question for Jared Bednar whenever we get a presser, but like the Jack Johnson PTO was only frustrating because it was Jack Johnson specifically, but at least on defense, the numbers game made sense. At forward, like, we were expecting them to do something at forward just because there are obvious holes in the lineup. But a guy like this is just like
more of the same. Yep.
Why?
Yep.
So, yeah.
And that's what you hope is that you get to training camp, you get to preseason, and they realize, you know, he's not any better than some of these young guys that we could be playing. So what's the point?
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing I'll say is Martin Kaut has been here for a couple weeks, and he's been out there consistently. I don't know if that, you know, it's you want to do anything you can to impress the veterans on the team, like an Eric Johnson who's been out there from the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you straight line if you don't think that the coaching staff doesn't at least
see that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, note of it.
Sean Allard is out there, so. There are some coaches that I don't know if that's allowed. I'm pretty sure
it's not, but they do it every year.
So. I was going to say, this is the same team that blatantly broke the veteran rules in a preseason game a few years ago.
Three veterans and you're supposed to have six.
And when I asked them about it, the entire organization collectively went, do something. And it was like, okay, I guess that's not something I'll ever talk about again.
All right, yeah, but should be interesting. Rookie development camp coming up starting this Sunday. We will be there. We will have Twitter wall-to-wall coverage, probably some videos and pieces as well. And then
just a quick expectation, we will pod on Sunday because we'll all be there.
Yep.
We'll pod on Monday and we'll pod on Tuesday, probably in the evenings because of how the schedule is set up. Wednesday I am driving down to Phoenix, and because of the Sunday and Saturday shows of just next week,
skip a Wednesday.
Yeah, probably we'll just not do one on Wednesday, and then there will be games. They have games Thursday, Friday,
and Sunday, I believe.
And hold on. No, it's they have, because there's one day that they take off. And their first
Saturday,
their last game is Monday morning at 10 a.m. because I go to that game and then I immediately come back to Denver.
Oh, there you go. So
it's Friday, so Saturday, it's, Friday, yeah. Sunday, Monday.
Yeah. I think it's that. Yeah, it is. Friday against LA in the evening, Sunday against Anaheim in the evening.
And then Monday morning.
Yep.
So, and I am hoping, this has not been guaranteed or anything, but I am hoping to get some one-on-ones with players, that we can put on pods and stuff.
Yep. That'd be sick.
So the drive is about 16 hours.
Someone asked about training camp dates. Nothing official has come up, but if they follow the same routine they have the last several years, I think media day is like 2 weeks from today.
They gave us quickly after the rookie stuff. Yeah.
So we have the schedule for all of the rookie stuff.
Yeah.
Goes through like the 20th.
Yeah. The rookie tournament ends on the 20th. And then
they come back. It's probably like a week ish or so. And then it's go.
Yeah. So that Monday. And then they usually will have a day off. And then I would think that Wednesday or Thursday is media day, and then we will roll right into training camp that weekend.
Yep.
The 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th.
So there you go. It's go time in Avalanche Hockey Land. finally back to some actual proper on-ice things happening. I'm looking forward to it. I hope y'all are too, especially you, chat. We're going to get out of here for the day. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate you. Like we said, we'll be back tomorrow doing something or other, and then you'll hear from us this weekend with all the rookie stuff. So hope to see you then. We will talk to you all later.